Rishus of Kornfeld Shlita. We've come here tonight to discuss, to encourage the Inyan of Shmiras HaLashon. And those of you who learn from the calendar two halachos a day, or those of you who learn from the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, the halachos of Lashon Hara from the Chafetz Chaim, you should know that you should be very proud of yourselves, and you're doing a very chashuv thing. We saw the beauty. You could see the beautiful calendars outside. And those of you who already do it, or those of you who have come tonight for the desire to start learning from the calendar, it's a tremendous chus. The fact that you learn it every day, or that you have an interest in learning it every day, or that in of itself that you come here tonight to grow in Shmiras HaLashon and to grow in all midos in general, sets you apart different than the rest of other people. It shows that you have a desire to build a foundation for yourselves in how we can grow, how you can grow in Shmiras HaLashon and sensitivity for others. We will discuss different practical ideas how we could improve our Shmiras HaLashon, but a lot of people, they get a Hesayrus and they decide, they tell somebody else, that's it, I'm finished, no more Lashon Hara, I'm never going to say one more word of Lashon Hara. And of course, someone who thinks like that, someone who even thinks for a moment that that will last, of course we know such a thing cannot last. I heard a cute story from Rav Moshe Weinberger from Woodmere. He said, when he was a boy in yeshiva as a bachur, he said there was a boy in yeshiva, a good boy, and he decided in the middle of nowhere that that's it, he's never going to talk Lashon Hara ever again. And anytime he tried to approach him, to try to get into conversation about something, it was impossible to talk to him. Every single thing that you brought up, he said, no, I don't know, I think maybe it's Lashon Hara, or perhaps it's Avak Lashon Hara, maybe, I'm not sure. You have to make sure that it's not Lashon Hara. And he said it was already getting out of hand in the rest of the yeshiva. It was impossible just to talk to this person. Fine, but, you know, it is a good thing. So, you know, they went along with it. Then came the Pesach Ben Azmanim, came the vacation, and everyone went home, and then afterward they came back to yeshiva, and they reacquainted themselves with their friends. And one day, they were sitting in a lunchroom, by breakfast or by lunch, and they were sitting with this boy, and they're talking, and all of a sudden this boy says a big, fat piece of juicy Lashon Hara. And everyone was like, looked up from their food, like, whoa, who's that come from? And when they saw who said it, they couldn't understand it, him, of all people. And, you know, they asked, they said, you know, what's going on? Like, what happened? So he said, no, this man, I'm working on kas. So, meaning, and it's a good thing to work on kas, but somebody who, in the middle of nowhere, just says, that's it, I'm not going to say Lashon Hara ever again. So it is a good thing, but unfortunately, you know, chances are it's not going to last. But if you see from these beautiful calendars, and the calendars are really, you could take a look at it, it's not hard to do. Just a little bit day by day by day to build in yourselves, to build in ourselves a foundation, slowly but surely to build, to work on what you learned that day, then the next day perhaps to work on what you learned that day and what you did the day before, how chashuv it is. We know Chazal say, "B'schus the Nashim Tzidkanius." That's how we get Geula, and that's how we get Yeshua's in Klal Yisrael. And it's incumbent upon everybody to take it upon themselves to learn day by day how to improve in Shmiras HaLashon. Why is Shmiras HaLashon so important? What makes it the essence of being a Yid is Shmiras HaLashon and avoiding speaking Lashon Hara. We know that there are many, many Chazal, Gemaras, and Midrashim, all the way down to the Chafetz Chaim himself, who brings many different statements, how important it is, and how terrible it is to speak Lashon Hara, and how important it is to refrain from speaking Lashon Hara, and Shmiras HaLashon in general. Why is it so important? So the Maral says, the Pasuk says, as you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which of course is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is Echad, Hashem is the one and only. But the Maral says that the word Echad is not just referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's referring to Klal Yisrael in general, as a whole. And he said the following, the word Echad, the Aleph, refers to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the Bechir Sheva Avos, he was the choicest of all the Avos, and the reason for that is because all his children were all tzaddikim. Avram had Yishmael, even though we know from the parasha recently that Yishmael did tshuva at the end, perhaps according to some opinions, but Avram did have a Yishmael. Yitzchak had an Esav, whereas by Yaakov he was the Bechir Sheva Avos because all his children were tzaddikim. Maybe they shouldn't have sold Yosef when they did, but tzaddikim they were. And he says the Ches refers to the 8 children that Yaakov Avinu had with the 2 Imos, with Rachel and Leah. And the Dalet is the 4 children that he had with the Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah. And that tells us, says the Maral, that all of Klal Yisrael is Echad. No matter which Shevet we come from, no matter what type of person we are, we're all Echad, we're all one Klal Yisrael, we're all one unit. And because we are all one unit, Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad, that is a demand upon us to be kind to each other, to be considerate to each other, to encourage each other, and not to break each other. And of course, to speak Lashon Hara about other people, to put them down, that lacks in the unity of Klal Yisrael. There's a very interesting Tosfos in Menachos, the Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about something fascinating. It talks about a man with 2 heads. And Tosfos over there brings a Medrash that talks about a man with 2 heads. And the story goes the following, as follows. There were 2 brothers that their father had passed away. And when the father passed away, there was a Yerusha, there was an inheritance to the children. So there were 2 brothers, and one of the brothers had 2 heads. So they came to Shlomo HaMelech. And the brother with 1 head said, we should split it 50-50. We should split the Yerusha 50-50. And the brother with 2 heads said, no, I should get 2/3. I should get 66%. Because after all, I have 2 heads. I'm 2 people. So Tosfos ends the story right there. The Shita Mekubetzas on the side of the Gemara finishes the story. And the Shita Mekubetzas says that what did Shlomo HaMelech do, the wisest of all men? Shlomo HaMelech, he went over to the person with the 2 heads, he covered one of the heads, and he took bubbling hot water and poured it over the head that was uncovered. And both heads cried out. Even the head that was covered cried out in pain. And Shlomo HaMelech says, if you see that both heads cried out in pain, so then evidently it's all one person. And because of that, he split the Yerusha, he split the inheritance 50-50. But we see a great lesson over here. We see that if we're all one person, then if someone else is in pain, then we need to cry out. If we see another person in pain, in tsar, and we're not crying out, and we don't feel as if that it's happened to us ourselves, nose ba'olam chaveiro, that we're one with the other person, if we don't feel like that, then evidently that lacks in our unity. To cry out, and for sure, not to put down other people and to actively go and cause pain to other people. So how do we improve our Shmiras HaLashon? How do we avoid talking Lashon Hara? So I'd like to just discuss a few different topics, a few different practical ideas, how we could approach this idea. And the first is that we need to be Dan L'Kav Schus. So people in general, the Pasuk in Parashas Kedeshim says, Perik Yates, Pasuk Tesvot, B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, you should judge your nation with righteousness. And the simple meaning of the Pasuk is referring to Bezdin, that Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, the judges, they need to judge the people righteously. They shouldn't take bribes, they should make sure that they're paskening correctly. But Rashi over there in Kedoshim brings another pshat from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Flam and Dalar Amadeis. And Rashi brings the Gemara that says, Havedon Chavercha Lekav Schos. Each and every one of us, not just referring to Bezdin, but each and every one of us has to judge our neighbor favorably. We see someone do something, and so many times we jump to conclusions. But we don't necessarily know the whole story. We don't know exactly what happened. We come in the middle, we see someone do something, and right away we think, oh, the person's a bad person, and then, of course, that could lead to Lashon Hara. But we always have to be down the Kav Zchus and judge a person favorably. And besides, maybe the person comes from a different type of background, maybe they were raised differently, it's not their fault. Where they grew up, perhaps this was accepted. We don't necessarily know the whole story of what happened. And the next pasuk over there in Parshas Kedeshim says, "Veseilech Rachel ba'anecha." Mamish, the next pasuk, that to prevent rechilus, you should not be a Rachel to have rechilus on Lashon Hara. The best way to prevent rechilus is b'tzedek tishpor am yisecha, to judge your person favorably, to judge your friend favorably. Unfortunately, we see so many problems. We see other people with so many problems. People don't have jobs, or they don't have a shidduch, or they don't have nachas from one or more of their children. And right away, all of a sudden, we think we have all the answers. They're too lazy, they're too picky, they're too quiet, they're too loud, they're too strict, they're too easygoing. All of a sudden, we think we know all the answers. And we don't know at all what goes on in other people's lives, in other people's family. And we have no idea, we can't necessarily start judging. A friend of mine told me an unbelievable little incident that happened to him, and this could really change your life, how you view other people and how you could be down the Kav Zchus. He told me that one summer, he wanted to visit a friend of his in camp, in a sleepaway camp up in the mountains in the Catskills. And he wasn't in this camp, he just wanted to go for Shabbos. And he got permission to go just for this Shabbos. He came for Shabbos, and Friday night, after the davening in the shul, he didn't really know anybody in the camp except for his friend. After davening, he noticed that everybody went on a line, and they went saying good Shabbos to the head counselor, or the rav in the camp, the merdasser of the camp, and everyone, every single person, was going up on line to say good Shabbos. But he noticed that there was one boy off to the side, and he wasn't walking around. And he thought it was interesting, you know, everyone is going around to give a little bit of kavod, to say good Shabbos to the head counselor and to the Rav. And this person, he was standing off to the side, he wasn't saying good Shabbos. Not only that, not only was he going around like everybody else, but he was leaning back on a shtender like this. He was leaning back, and he looked, you know, like a cool cat, you know, he was just leaning back, and he was, you know, he was happy with where he was. And besides that, thirdly, His hat was up, and he looked like he was dressing really cool, and he had a big chip of hair in the front, and he was getting very nervous, my friend told me, from this guy on the side. Who does he think he is? He's not going around saying good Shabbos like everybody else. He's leaning back on the shtender. He has his hat up. He looks nice and cool. It irked him. It bothered him. Who is this guy? So he asked his friend. He said, you know, who is that boy on the side? What's the deal with him? So he said, oh, him, he has Yana Machla. And he's so weak that he can't even walk around to say good Shabbos to the head counselor. And not only that, not only is he so weak that he can't walk around, but he can't even stand up straight. He always has to constantly be leaning on something. Because of the medication and all the chemo that he's going through, he can't even stand up straight. And because of all the chemo, because of all the medications, he lost all his hair in the back of his head. And he's embarrassed because of it. So he puts up his hat, and he has still hair in the front of his head, so he picks up his hat in the back so it's covered. And my friend told me, he said, everything that he was bothered by with this guy was all answered up in 1 second. And who would have thought in a million years that that's the reason? And he said it taught him such a lesson in Dan Lekav Zchus, that you don't know, we can never know the entire story. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, Al Tehi Don Yechidi. Now it's a nice song. Al Tehi Don Yechidi. Do not be a judge all by yourself. She'ein Don Yechidi Ela Echad. Because there is only one being that can be a judge all by himself. And of course, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know, as a male, I live in Passaic, and I hear from time to time, you know, I hear about the baby boys that are born. And one time there was someone in the neighborhood who was married, newly married, and he was krater for many brisim that I had was zeicha to do. And every time I saw him be krater, I told him, Mitzvah Shem Bayu, Mitzvah Shem Bayu, and he always said Amen. And I assumed that, you know, Mitzvah Shem, he'll have a boy, and of course, you know, who else is he going to call? You know, of course he's going to call me. And not that my bracha is worth anything, but I always said something to him, mitzvah shem by you, we should share simchas. Sure enough, I heard a friend of mine told me that he had a baby boy. Okay, he had a baby boy. I made sure my cell phone was on. Make sure I'm getting ready. A day or two passes, no phone call. And I'm wondering, like, who could it be? Like, what's going on? Maybe, you know, maybe he's not having calls right away. Well, sure enough, I found out that his brother-in-law is a male. There's a male that I've heard of, and I didn't realize it was his brother-in-law. So, of course, if he has a brother-in-law, that's a male. Of course, that's who he should call. And then, right away, I was thinking, you know, that's a lesson for myself in Dan Lekav Schus, that you don't necessarily know. Who would have thought that he had a brother-in-law that's a male? So, of course, that's why he didn't call me. Another time, I guess I didn't learn my lesson, there's another friend of mine who had a baby boy. Someone told me he had a baby boy. I said, oh, okay, fine. You know, this was even a closer friend of mine that, you know, I figured he would call me, an acquaintance. No phone call. There's something called the local pages in Passaic. And it comes out every few weeks, about once a month. And in the back, they have all the list of all the simchas. When a list of all the simchas, so it's saying mazel tov to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so on the birth of a baby girl. So, that's the best excuse possible why he didn't call me. The guy, the friend who told me made a mistake. It wasn't a boy, it was a girl. So right away, we jumped to conclusions. There are mistakes that you could be making, the wrong information, and we have no idea. My Rosh Kollel in Passaic, Rav Zev Rivkin, he once told me a gevaldik pshat. I love the pshat so much. He said, why is saras on the skin? We know in Parashas Tazria, Metzora, the psukim talk about the nega of saras. And one of the main averas that saras comes for is for the avera of lashon hara. So why is it specifically on the skin? So he said the following, a beautiful pshat. He said many parts of the body are named, the meaning of the word of the body has more than one meaning really. For example, the liver is called the kaved in Hebrew. And kaved also means heavy, because the liver is the heaviest organ. So because of that, the liver is called the kaved. Also, the teeth are called shinayim. Shinayim is two lashonis. It means also number two. Shinayim is two because we have two sets of teeth. And also shinui means to change because the teeth change the food once it enters into our mouth. Everything is rooted into the Hebrew language. The ozen, our ear is an ozen. Ozen also means a weight. Now weights, you balance the weights. And the inside of the ear, the inner cochlea, that's what controls the balance of a person. So it makes sense that the ear is called the ozen. The eyes are the ayin, the einayim. Ayin, a mayin is also a spring. It's also a wellspring of water. And our eyes have tears, an unlimited amount of tears, generally speaking, that we have. That also, the ayin is the eye that comes from a mayin, a spring. Dum is blood. Dum is similar to money. In some ways, it's similar to money. That it circulates, the blood circulates, and Chazal tell us that money circulates, and that's why it's not important to worry so much about money, because it all circulates anyways. And I once heard a nice joke, that damim, that blood and money are two things that it's hard to get people to donate. But either way, there are many parts of the body that have to do with the word that it is called. But what about the skin? The skin is called the ar. Or the same letters, Ayin, Vav, and Resh, are also Iver. Iver means to be blind. And also in English, the English word for the skin is called hide, because it blinds and it hides the organs inside our body. You can't see inside the person's body, you can't see inside your own body, and it probably wouldn't look very pretty if we were able to see through somebody and see the inside of the body. And the Or, the skin, is what hides, is what makes us that we can't see inside the body. So Rosh Kollel said, he said, that's why tzaras is on the skin. To tell us that you speak Lashon Hara, this person who has tzaras, you spoke Lashon Hara about this other fellow. You can't see what's in his heart. You were blinded to what's in his heart. You were blinded to what's inside his brain. You don't necessarily know the whole story. So how can you go speak Lashon Hara about somebody? And it's such a great shot, because a lot of times we only look skin deep and we don't necessarily see the whole picture. Rav Shalom Shadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim, Zatzal, he used to love to tell the following story. This happened, the story with Rav Shmuel Salant, who is the Rav in Yerushalayim about 100 years ago, a little bit more. And in his Kehila, there was a Hasidisha family, and a young couple had just gotten married. And it was right before the Yontif of Pesach. And by Pesach he went, the first Yontif, the first Pesach, he went to his wife's house right after Shavuot Brachos. And it was all very exciting. Just finished the Shabbat Brachos, and they came to the Seder. Pesach in general was a very exciting yontif after you finish with the cleaning, as everyone's looking forward to it. So they were sitting down at the Seder, and they had the Manashtana, and they had the Magid, and everything was going great. And they came to Shulchan Aruch. And he was eating his soup. The Chosin himself was eating his soup by his new in-laws. And he looks down at the soup, and he sees that there's a wheat kernel inside his soup. Now, a wheat kernel is mamish chometz. And how could this be? Now, of course, it wasn't on purpose, but, you know, he thought his mother-in-law is very careful to clean very, very well. And it's, of course, it's a firm family. And, you know, right away, everyone noticed the wheat kernel, and it ruined the Seder. And there was more than one, there was a few wheat kernels, and it ruined the Seder. Everyone was so embarrassed. The mother-in-law, of course, she was totally, she was very, very embarrassed. And it just ruined the night. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one Seder, not two. That's it. You know, the Seder was ruined. The next morning, they came to Shul, and Abshmul Salant went over to the Chosin, and he said, "Nu, how's Yantif? How's the new Chosin? How are you doing?" He said, "Fine, Baruch Shem." So right away, Abshmul Salant picked up on it. He was a smart person. He said, "Really? Well, everything okay?" Yeah. Everything's fine, Baruch Hashem. It's beautiful. So he went over to the father-in-law, and he said, "Nu, how's Yantif? How's the new young couple?" He said, fine, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. So Abshmul Salant said, "You know, you have to tell me. I see the chosin is very uneasy, and I see you're avoiding the question. What happened?" So they told him the story. They told him what happened, that they found the wheat kernel in the soup, and they were so embarrassed. So Abshmul Salant said, "Both of you, quickly, come out of the shul." They go outside the shul. He tells his shamas, he says, "Quickly, bring me a shmata." So he brings him a rag, and he tells the chosin, "Give me a shtreimel." So he takes off the shtreimel from the chosin, and he takes the shmata, and he rubs the shtreimel back and forth, and three more wheat kernels fall out of the shtreimel. And the chosin can't believe it. What had that happened? How did wheat kernels get in the shtreimel? So Shmuel Salant explained. He says, "Don't you remember a couple weeks ago by the Eifruf? Over here we throw, in America we usually throw candies, but in Eretz Yisrael the minig was, especially by the Hasidim, they threw wheat kernels. And that's why the wheat kernels got stuck in his shtreimel that he wore for the Eifruf. And that's why only his soup had the wheat kernels in it. It had fallen from his shtreimel." So Abshalom Shadrani always used to end, he says, "Before you accuse other people, make sure you check your own shtreimel." But sometimes it's hard to be down the kav schus. Sometimes we see something that's for sure negative, and you see negative qualities in people, and sometimes you know that it's impossible to be down the kav schus. So the next thing that needs to be done is we need to focus on the positive. There are many, many negatives to people, sometimes, unfortunately, but we need to be able to focus on the positive of people and the positive in situations. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, says that the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Tzadi Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, Or Zeru Al HaTzadik Ule Yishrei Leiv Simcha. There is a light for the tzaddikim, and to the straight of heart is going to be happiness. So the Targum over there says, how does the Targum translate? Ule Yishrei Leiv Simcha, those that are straight of heart are going to be Simcha. Ule Teritze Liba Chedva, those who have a straight heart, terutza, teretz is an answer. Teretz means something straight. You said something straight. That's going to be chedva. That's going to be happiness. So Rav Huttner says, b'derech drush, that a teretz means an answer. And you have to find answers for things. Sometimes you see something and you can't understand it in a person, and a person would jump to speak Lashon Hara about them. But you have to try and find an answer to every situation that happens. You see somebody cut you online. Okay, you find an answer that she must not have realized that I was waiting in line. She must not have realized. You see that you're not invited to a certain simcha of somebody that you think you should have been invited to, a bar mitzvah or a wedding. So find an answer. Perhaps they're struggling. Perhaps they can't afford so many guests. You see another girl gets into a seminary. How come I didn't get into that seminary? How come my daughter didn't get into that seminary? So you have to find an answer. Perhaps, you know, I'm much better than them, but they felt bad for her, so they took her in. They couldn't take so many girls from one school, from one class, from one area. Always try and find an answer. You go somewhere in the summer, and there's no air conditioning, or in the winter, and there's no heating. So, doesn't necessarily mean that they're cheapskates. It could be it just broke recently. You never know. There's always trying to find answers. Even if you see something negative in front of you, we need to try and find answers for everything. And there are some people that are always negative. You could see that they're always, always focusing on the negative of things. My sister told me that she knows somebody, of course she didn't say her name, she didn't say who, that she knows somebody that is always negative. And she always avoids to try and talk to her, because whatever it is, it's always going to lead to something negative, looking down at something. One time she bumped into her in her neighborhood, and she saw that she was wearing a beautiful new sheitel. And she said to herself, listen, you know, there's nothing she could find negative about this. Let me give her a compliment, make her feel good. I'll tell her that, you know, that the new sheitel looks very nice. So she went over to him. She said, hi, how are you? I noticed that you have a new sheitel. It looks so beautiful. It's so pretty. She said, I know. I don't understand. Why can't all my sheitels be like this? Did you see my last sheitel? My last sheitel was like this. And after just a few months, it got like that. And my sister said, forget it. She gives up. You know, that's it. There's some people that are just always, always looking for the negative. Even if there's a positive, they're always going to be looking for the negative. My wife told me one time she went into a grocery store. And she went over to the lady behind the counter, and it was right after some type of vacation that this lady had off for a few days. So, just to make conversation, my wife said, so how do you enjoy your vacation? So she said, everyone's asking me how I enjoy my vacation. They don't realize that I work so hard right before my vacation, and I work so hard after my vacation, and I had such a short vacation. My wife was like, okay, fine, forget it. I'm sorry I asked. You know, you have a vacation? Say, thank you very much. Thanks for asking. It's very nice of you. Always there are some people that are always looking for the negative, and that's something that we have to avoid. We have to be able to focus on the positive. And this is something that I was just talking with the rest of my family. Those of you, some of you may know that my father, Rabbi Krohn, senior, he just had a little bit of an injury, and he needed to have surgery on his knees. He fell in Eretz Yisrael over Sukkos. He was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, and he fell, and he needed surgery on his knees. And the trip that my parents were on in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, they took 6 grandchildren to them with them for Sukkos, 6 of my nephews, and they told themselves that we're not going to ruin the trip because of this injury. It happened on Simchas Torah, it was towards the end of the trip, there's only a day or two left, and they said, we're not going to let it ruin our trip. So much so that one of my nephews is 13 years old, that he didn't even understand really, because my parents didn't make such a big deal about it, and they focused on the positive that, you know, we're still having a great time in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't even realize exactly what had happened. He had left a message for my sister when it was still Yontif over here. He said, yeah, it's great, we're having a great time, Yontif is beautiful, Zaidi fell at the end and he got a little hurt, but really, you know, the Yontif was wonderful. And they always were focusing on the positive. My father, Baruch Hashem, he was able to come back to America to have the surgery. He didn't have the surgery in Eretz Yisrael. He was able to have the surgery in Manhattan. And throughout the entire surgery, afterwards, my father was always very positive. And throughout the recovery, and it's not easy, through all the medications, and the rehab, and the therapy, and to keep a positive outlook on all the progress he was making. And the nurses all said that he was a great patient to have, because he was always focusing on the positive, and it helped for the recovery itself to always focus on the positive. Even the night of the surgery, I remember the surgery was on a Sunday, it was the day after Yontif over here, and my wife and I went to visit after the surgery, and my father was in the recovery room, and my mother was able to be there, Baruch Hashem, and another one of my sisters, and even when right after the surgery, my father was already making jokes. And he was on a lot of medication, so he recognized who I was, he saw who I was, and he understood who everything was going on. But even then, at the state when he was still a little groggy from all the medicine, he was already making jokes, and always trying to focus on the positive. And the truth is, in the span of a lifetime, so many things that you look at situations, you look at people, small things that once you look back at it at a later time, you realize that they're just small things. And once, overall, over the whole span of life, it's something that's not a big deal. Even the negatives, it's not a big deal. It's not important to make such a big deal over them. Because it's much easier to focus on the positive, it's much more worth it when these negatives sometimes are so trivial. I've always said, I'm always a big believer, a lot of times you have to, I was once talking about it with somebody, you have to let somebody apologize. Sometimes someone does something wrong to you. They did something wrong, and they shouldn't have. And they regret it at a later time. And they come over and they apologize, sincerely. And there's some people that they can't let somebody apologize. Because, no, you did something wrong to me, and I'm going to bear a grudge forevermore. If a person is allowed to regret what they did, and they're allowed to apologize, and we need to accept, be able to accept apologies, and focus that we see that the person regrets what they did, and they feel bad, they'll try not to do it again. And we need to be able to accept that, and not just to look back at all the negatives. There's a famous saying that even a broken clock is right twice a day. And that's because, as we know, that even if it's broken, but there are sometimes there's always a positive to look at. There's a story with Reb Lazer Silver in the DP camps. And there was in the DP camps after the Holocaust, a man came over to Reb Lazer Silver and told him that he'll never be frum again. He says, I'll tell you right now, I'll never become frum. Now, of course, we can't judge the people that went through the Holocaust, but this is what he told Reb Lazer Silver, that he's never going to be frum. So Reb Lazer Silver said, why? You know, he saw that there was something there besides just of what the tragedies that happened. So he said, because he saw something happen in the camps, that there was a man who had a sitter, and he didn't let anybody use his sitter unless they gave him the ration of bread for that day. And he said, someone who could be such achzariah, someone who could do that and not share his sitter with people that didn't want to give their bread, there's no way that I could be frum again. So Reb Lazer Silver, he was a smart man, and he had to think quickly. And he said, why are you focusing on the man that didn't give up his sitter? Why don't you focus on all the other people that gave up their bread to have the sitter? And Reb Lazer Silver, of course, wasn't judging for this man, but it just shows that Reb Lazer Silver was focusing on the positive of the people. There's a cute story about a little boy that I once heard from a psychologist, a boy that was in his backyard, and he was playing baseball all by himself. And he was by himself with a baseball and a bat, and he was pitching to himself, and he takes the bat and the ball, and he throws up, he says to himself, I'm the greatest baseball player, I'm the best player in my class. He throws up the ball, and he swings and misses. Strike one. He picks up the ball, and he says, I'm the greatest baseball player, I'm the greatest in my whole school. He picks up the ball, he throws it up in the air, he swings, and he misses. Strike two. Those of you who don't know, there's only three strikes. He picks up the ball one more time. He says, I'm the greatest baseball player in the entire world. He throws up the ball, swings and misses. Strike three. He looks at the ball on the floor, and he says, what a pitcher. Which, of course, is himself. But sometimes we need to say something. And even if we're able to look at the positive, but sometimes we're called upon to say something. We're in a conversation with somebody and we're called upon to say something. We need to respond. So now we need to discuss how we talk to one person, one to another. Not just to be down the kafschus in the first place, or to look at the positive in a situation, but when we do say something, we have to know how we talk to others. And that's another aspect of Shmiras HaLashon, to be sensitive to others. Many times we hurt people, and we're not bad people, we don't mean to hurt somebody, but we're insensitive sometimes. The Pasuk and passage Pinchas says the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu found out that he's not going to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu asked of Hashem, Yifkar Hashem alakei haruchais, you should Hashem appoint the God of all spirits, l'chol basar ish ala eda, a man over the assembly. So Rashi says, why does Moshe Rabbeinu refer to Hashem as the lokei haruchos? Goli lifanecha, it is revealed in front of you, daita shel echad ve'echad, the personality of every single person, ve'enin domen zelazeh, and we're not similar one to the other. Mana alea manig, appoint for them a leader, she'isayvo kol echad ve'echad lefi daita, that will put up with every single person, each one for himself. And that's to teach us that no two people are alike. And we have to be extra special careful how we speak to people. And that's what a leader is. And that surely goes for parents and for teachers and Rebbeim in general. But that goes to everybody. We have to know who we're speaking to. Different people could take different comments different ways. I heard a story once from a Rav. And this Rav said it in a public speech. And I heard it on the tape. And he said the story about himself. So chances are, according to Halacha, I could say the name of the Rav, but I don't feel comfortable saying the name of the Rav, it's not necessary, especially in the speech of Shmiras HaLashon. And he said that one time what happened to him, that he was in his shul, and there was a simcha in the shul, and family and friends came for Shabbos. And there was an acquaintance of his that was a family member of the Baal Simcha, a Bar Mitzvah, Eifruch, whatever it was, and he was talking with the gentleman after Shachris. And the Kiddush was downstairs after the davening. And he went with the man downstairs. He was walking downstairs to the Kiddush. So he said to the man, come, make a bracha. And fine. And the rest of Shabbos, he noticed that this man wasn't so friendly to him anymore. And he couldn't understand it because the man was so friendly beforehand. They were schmoozing. They were very kind to each other. And the rest of Shabbos, he got the sense that something was up. So at the end of Shabbos, he went over to him like, is everything okay? Have you enjoyed the Shabbos? Everything okay? So he said, well, actually, now that you mention it, you don't think I make brachas? You have to tell me to make a bracha? He says, maybe just because I don't wear a black hat, and I'm not as firm as you people over here in wherever city it was, but you think I don't make a bracha? So he says, why are you thinking that I don't think you make a bracha? He says, what do you mean? We went down to the Kiddush and you told me to make a bracha. He said, no, that's an expression, you know, like we say in Yiddish, macha bracha, that means, come, let's get something to eat, it means make a bracha. It's just an expression. And he didn't believe him. He did not believe him until he asked around to other people, is there such an expression, make a bracha? And everyone told him, yes, of course. So then he forgave this Rav, and this Rav is the nicest man around, I know him personally. And there's no way he had anything in mind like that. But you never know what a person could think, what a certain comment means. There's many psukim in the Torah that talk about not to oppress a ger, v'yosem, v'amana. A ger, or an orphan, or an amana. And that's a lesson to anybody who's in a compromised situation. You need to be so careful. And many times it's just common sense. But unfortunately, as they say, common sense is not so common. And we need to be careful who we're talking to know what compromised situation they're in. My Rosh Hashiva, from Yeshiva Shara Torah that I learned in as a Bachar, my Rosh Hashiva, his name was Avzela Gavstein. I'm sure most of you have heard of him. Avzela Gavstein Zatzal. And he had a rule for the Bacharim in the Yeshiva. I learned in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. I came back, I was in Shidduchim in Shara Torah. So he had a rule for all the Bacharim that were in Shidduchim that you have to agree right away to go on 2 dates. You can't say no after 1 date. Now, by no means am I, and even Rav Zelig Epstein, mean to say what other people should do. This is just where Rav Zelig Epstein had paskind for the Bochum in his yeshiva. He wasn't telling everybody else what to do, and for sure, I'm not telling anybody else what to do. But Rav Zelig was telling all the Bochum in yeshiva that you're not allowed to say no after 1 date. So, coming into the yeshiva, I assumed that, why, what's the reason? Because, as they say, hey, you never know, even if the date doesn't seem to go so well, but you hear stories about how the first date wasn't good at all, and then everything picked up after that. You hear stories about where one of them only spoke Hebrew and one of them only spoke English, and then somehow they ended up marrying each other. I guess, you know, they assume they can never get into any fights with each other, so it works out perfect. But, so you hear crazy stories. So I figured that must be the reason. But later I found out from the Anhala that that's not the reason at all. The reason is because girls in Shidduchim are in a compromised situation, and it's very hard for them. And it's pashut not right to say no to a girl after 1 date. Many times for boys, they have long lists, but as you know, for girls, it's usually that's not the case. And for them to be told no to after 1 date, our Rosh Hashiva felt that it wasn't kind, it wasn't derech eretz to do to them, because they were in a compromised situation. And I was wondering, you know, but if really the date didn't go well, so why should you continue? You're going to miss night seder. It's bittul Torah. And the answer is obvious, because derech eretz kadma la Torah. And if a person is any type of situation, that we have to be so careful how not to offend them. I know someone whose mother was sitting Shiva, and he was sitting Shiva for his father. And unfortunately, just the year before Nebuch, she had been sitting Shiva for her sister. And now she was sitting Shiva for her husband. So someone went over to her and said, wow, last year was your sister, and this year is your husband. Who's it going to be next year? And I mean, that's not even insensitive. That's like stupid. I'm saying, like who? And he couldn't believe it. And the same guy, the same friend of mine, he told me when he was sitting shiva for his father, the husband, you know, his father, and his father was nifter on Matzah Yom Kippur. And the Gemara in Ksubas Kuf Gimel Mubay says that it's a simen yafelo. It's a special thing for a person to die after Yom Kippur. Rashi explains because it shows that his averos were forgiven. So the person told him, wow, your father died Matzah Yom Kippur, what a schus. So he said, thank you, mitzvah Hashem by you. And now, of course, what the person meant, that your father must have been such a great tzaddik and a big Talmid Chacham, because you see that the Gemara says, but this person took it wrong. This person, he was insulted. And, you know, he wasn't thinking. A lady told me that Nebuch, her husband, passed away, and by the Levaya, her children were maspid, her sons were maspid, and there were other hespedim. And she was walking out after the Levaya, walking behind the Aron, behind her husband. And a man came over to her and said, oh, it was kedai to come just to hear such great hespedim. Now, of course, what the person meant, obviously, was that the hespedim was so great, and your husband was such a great man, and I'm so happy, I'm going to grow from the hespedim. But she told me that she was very upset. Well, what do you mean it was kedai to come? Well, you're happy this happened, you're happy to be here? A person needs to be extra special careful, even though, of course, they have in mind something nice. Back to my father, just because that's on my mind. so many people called my father to be Mavaka Chola over the phone. And so many people, they can't control themselves. They say nice, they say jokes to my father. And they said, oh, you fell on Sukkot? It's Kedai to happen just so we could say Pesach fell on Sukkot. Now, okay, it's hysterical. My father didn't appreciate it. My father didn't think it was so funny. You know, maybe it is funny. To him, he thought it was funny. My father told me he didn't like it. Someone else said, oh, Rabbi Krug, I have a great line for your next speech, for your first speech. The opening line should be, now you could say that you can't put your foot in your mouth. That one I didn't even think was so funny. I thought it was pretty corny. But my father didn't like it. My father didn't think, you know, another comedian, he didn't think it was so funny. And you should know, my father is not a sensitive person. My father, maybe an emotional person, maybe. He could say the same story 100 times and could cry every single time. And my sibling will always ask him how he could do that. So he's a very emotional person, but he's not a sensitive person. And he told me he didn't appreciate it. And sometimes when it comes to being sensitive to people, it's not just not saying something negative. You have to give up of yourself as well. There's a story with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right after he got married, he came to his wife's town for the Shabbos. And everyone heard, this is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, married into the family, and they all wanted to see how great a person Rabbi Akiva Eiger is. And they asked him questions, and he was very unimpressive. He said, I don't know. They asked him to say a Dvar Torah, a speech. He said a simple Dvar Torah. And everyone couldn't understand, this is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what's going on? Fine, they weren't going to say anything. The next Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was there as well for Shabbos. And this time, the second Shabbos, he was very impressive, and he gave a whole pilpul, and everyone, this was the Rabbi Akiva Eiger everyone was expecting to see. And when they went over to him and asked him, what happened last week, you know, you weren't anything like this. So he says, no, you don't understand, last week there was another chassan in town. And that chassan was a regular person. And if everyone would, and the chassan would have seen, everyone would have seen that this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, wow, what a son-in-law to get. Well, this other son-in-law was just a regular person, then the other family would have felt bad. So because of that, I didn't want to show off at all. I didn't want to show my true colors. And he was able to embarrass himself for that Shabbos just to make sure that other chassan didn't feel bad. There's another beautiful story that I heard. This happened also right after the Holocaust. Thank you. Right after the Holocaust, there's a story of a man, Nebuch, who lost his whole family. And after the Holocaust, he got remarried to his second wife. And all he had left from his first marriage and from his family was just a picture of him and his wife. And he told his second wife, he said, listen, this is a picture of me and my first wife. And I understand if it makes you feel uncomfortable, if you're uneasy about the fact that I still have this picture. I can't bring myself to throw out this picture. I can't do it. But I understand if you're uncomfortable with it. So I'm telling you where I'm going to put it. I'm going to put it on the bottom drawer, underneath, let's say, my socks. And if you feel uncomfortable that I have this picture, you could do what you want with it. You could throw it out. But I can't bring myself to throw it out. A few days pass. He goes into his drawer and he sees that the drawer has been gone through. He sees that things are not exactly where they were before. And he realizes that, you know, it must have been just too hard for her, too uncomfortable to him, for him to have a picture of him and his first wife. He said, fine, he's not upset. You know, if that's how she feels, I understand. He stands up and he turns around and he sees on the wall, the picture is on the wall in a frame. And it must not have been comfortable for the wife to have the picture hanging on the wall. But she knew how much it meant to her husband. And she was able to give in of herself to be able to do that for her husband, to keep the picture and even frame it on the wall. But many times, people fail, and Lashon Hara has said, and insults go back and forth. And it's impossible to know the common denominator of why these things happen. But I once heard an amazing vart from Rav Chatzka Lebramsky, and this vart is so MS. The Gemara says at the end of Brachos, Tamid HaChachamim Amarim Shalom Ba'olam. Tamid HaChachamim increase peace in the world. And there are many different mefarshim that explain many different explanations. Why is it that Tamid HaChachamim increase peace inside the world? And the Beis Halevi said, half jokingly, that when all the people in the Kehillah gang up against the Rav, so then that creates peace, because now they're all together on the same side. So, the Beis Halevi, you know, that was his idea. Rav Chatzka Lebramsky says a beautiful vort. He says, when someone does something bad to you, why does a person get insulted? And this was touched upon in the introductory remarks, I think, a little bit. Why does a person get upset? Because they feel their whole life is based on what other people think of them. They have no self-identity. They're not happy with how they are. Their whole idea is, I want to make sure that I'm better than other people. What do people think about me? And if somebody insults me, then that ruins my whole being. How can I go on if someone's going to insult me? I have to answer back. I have to make a whole big deal about it. If somebody is at ease, is at nachas, with at peace with who they are, then they don't have to worry about other people. They don't have to be insulted. They don't have to worry that other people are doing something bad to them. They know that they're good at what they do, and they're choshev in their own right. They know that they're fine. So Tamid HaChachamim are obviously happy with what they are and who they are, and because of that, they are ma'adim shalom ba'olam. They don't have to get into any machlokas because they're happy with who they are. My mashkiach, Rav Matzio Roberts in Yeshiva Shara Torah, he would always say, he said, if you pass a child in the street, and the child, let's say, makes a face at you, are you going to be insulted? It's nothing, it's a child, and you're not going to be insulted by a little child. And that's how we should look at anybody who's going to insult us. It doesn't make a difference. It shouldn't make a difference to us. We should just look at them at that they're insignificant as far as us. Of course, we have to care for them. But anything that if we're at ease with who we are, and we're confident with who we are, we don't have to worry about other people. I was one time at a bris in Eretz Yisrael, and I remember the story just like yesterday. I was once at a bris in Eretz Yisrael, and those of you who've been to Eretz Yisrael, you know underneath the sink, sometimes you could see the water going through the pipes, and you could see the water rushing through. Well, I was at this bris, and one of those pipes got stuffed up, and the water was coming up through, and everyone who stepped on, you know, came to wash their hands for the Suda, would step in the water, and every single person, including myself, who that happened to, said the same thing. Anyone see the janitor? Anyone call the janitor? Of course, whenever you need the janitor, that's when he's not there. And everyone was just walking in this dirty water. Finally, a friend of mine, I keep it down, he saw a sponge stick. Those of you even who are not in Eretz Yisrael all know what a sponge stick is. And he took the sponge stick in his hat and jacket, and he started pushing the water away to another pipe that was open. And another one of my friends from the Chabura, fellow Mayor Kaznet, he said, someone who could, in a hat and jacket in front of everybody, could take a sponge stick and clean the floor, must have a lot of self-respect. Must have a lot of self-identity. Why? He says, because if somebody is not sure and he's always worried about what people say about him, so always going to be worried, you know, how does it look? I look like a janitor, I'm getting rid of the dirty water. But if a person knows, the Makam She'enish, this is what needs to be done at this time, then that's what needs to be done, you're going to do it. Even if other people may look down at you. And it was such a great lesson to me that you don't have to worry what other people say if you know you have your own self-covered. And another sidebar to the story is that you see that this other friend gave a compliment to somebody else. He gave a straight out compliment. So many people, we find that people have a hard time complimenting other people. And why do people have a hard time complimenting other people? Because they're afraid. If they compliment somebody, then it's as if I'm saying that they're better than I am. But of course, that's narishkeit. That's silly. We should be able to compliment people freely. I know I'm a teacher in a Beis Yaakov in 11th grade, and people, you know, the girls in the class, they raise questions, and you could tell from the question that they did not follow what I had been saying the last 10 minutes. Because if they knew what I had been saying the last 10 minutes, then the question was already answered. But of course, I say, oh, that's a very good question. But the answer is based on what we just said. And of course, I need to do that because I want to encourage the participation. But to be able to compliment somebody, even when you could force it in there, is still so important. And I was thinking perhaps that's why the Mitzera, someone who has Tzaras, the Pasuk says that he has to be Bodad Yeshev. He has to sit by himself, all chutz lamachne, all by himself. So I was thinking, perhaps that's the reason. Someone spoke Lashon Hara about somebody else, we have to set them chutz lamachne by yourself. To teach him, you have to get your own identity. You have to build your own personality. And you can't be worried about everybody else so much. Just to say one more story, then we'll review, and with a great thought. There's a story that sounds familiar. There's a great story by somebody, his name is Yaakov Sherman. And when before he was firm, his name was Kobe. And he was a jet fighter pilot in the Israeli Air Force. And they used to go through practice bombing maneuvers every once in a while. And they would fly in the sky at hundreds of miles an hour. And he was the lead pilot on this night in these practice maneuvers that they were doing. And he was flanked by four other pilots, two on each side, two on his left and two on his right. And they went through the nightly routine that they used to practice, and it was all very familiar to them. As he was flying, there's something that's called vertigo. Now, vertigo results from a problem in the balance in the mechanism in the inner ear, like we mentioned before. The balance of somebody, the balance of a person is controlled inside the inner ear. And when a person travels at hundreds of miles an hour, a person could go into vertigo. And it causes dizziness and confusion and disorientation. And when tiny particles in the ear fall, and they break loose and they fall into the inner canal, that causes vertigo. And usually a doctor or a physical therapist could get rid of it very quickly by shifting the head in certain positions. Or it could go, sometimes it goes away spontaneously all by itself. So this Kobe, someone from Atzala told me it's called vertigo because since you get dizzy, you know, you don't know where to go. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he told me. So this Kobe, he had vertigo, and while he was flying the plane, he got all dizzy and he felt like he was upside down. And he was really, through these maneuvers, he was supposed to go up and fly backwards, and then the other pilots were supposed to follow him. But because he was topsy-turvy, so instead of going up, instead of going higher, he was going down towards the ground. But to him, it looked as if he was going up. But truthfully, he was going downwards. And he saw the altimeter, he was losing altitude. Now, there's a safety precaution that all the jets, they have two altimeters. Because if a person sees only one, he'll think that it must be broken. But if you see two, then you really must realize that you have vertigo. So he radioed to his other friends, the other four people, and he said, "Am I losing altitude?" And they said, "Yeah, change your position. You're losing altitude. You have to go the other way." So he said that it took all his self-control, and he had to go, what he thought was down, he had to go up. And eventually, spontaneously, it came back to him, but he said it was so hard for him to go what he thought was down and to go the opposite of what his inclination took him to. And that's another idea of building your own self-identity. So many times we see people doing certain things, and it's in a whole group, and unfortunately a lot of people are speaking Lashon Hara, and there are people involved in Machlokes, and we think, okay, that's just the thing to do. We'll do what everyone else does. But it can't be like that. We have to have our own self-identity to do, even though it seems right to the Hamayinam, but if you yourself know that that's what's wrong, you have to do what's right. So, just to review, we spoke about the Chashivas, the importance of learning the Halachos, to build a foundation, whether it's through the halachas of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, or it's with this beautiful calendar. And the calendar is very easy. It's beautiful, it's short, and you could just take a little bit per day, and that's what builds the foundation to grow in Shmiras HaLashon. We said that we're all one unit. Echad, ki'ish echad b'lev echad. We're all connected, and we have to show concern for others, and certainly not to cause pain to others. And we said we have to be down the kav's chos, the story about my friend in the camp and why tzaras is on the skin because you can't see inside the person's brain or inside to the person's heart. And the story with the shtreimel. We said we have to focus on the positive, that we have to find answers. Our footnote says we have to find answers for things. Even if something looks like negative, but we have to be able to find the answers and look at the positive. And the story with a blaze of silver. We said you have to be sensitive to people and no two people are alike. And what you say to one person, someone else could take that differently. And we have to be so careful, especially to the people in compromised situations. Also to give of yourself, the story with Rabbi Kivager and the story with that couple after the Holocaust. And we said, finally, not to be taken over by other people. To be marbim shalom ba'olam. Why a Talmud Chacham is marbim shalom ba'olam? Because he's at ease with where he is at life, and he doesn't have to worry about other people. And he doesn't have to break others. And he has his own identity. The Das HaKeinim in Bali Atosis, one of the Rishonim, says in Parashas Re'eh, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chazayin, he says a mashal. A person comes to a fork in the road, and he sees a wise man, an old man, standing by the fork in the road. And everyone's asking him, which way should they take? Should they go to the left or to the right? And one of the roads in the beginning is very thorny. There's a lot of thorns, and it's very hard to walk in that road. And the other road, it looks in the beginning, is very clear. It's a very easy road. And the wise man tells them, no, this road is Tchilasei Koitzim V'Sofo Mishar. In the beginning it's thorny, but in the end it ends up being smooth sailing afterwards for the rest of the way. So you should take that road. And the other road, it's chilasei mishar. In the beginning it's smooth sailing, but v'seifei kaitzim. In the end it's very thorny and it's very hard. It's not worth it in the long run. So the smart people, they take the chilasei kaitzim v'seifei mishar. They take the road that's hard in the beginning, and in the end it ends up being easy. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Rabos machshavos belevish v'atzas Hashem hisakum. In Mishlei Perek Yates pasuk chafalof, we say it in davening every morning. Rabos machshavos, many are the designs in a man's heart, belevish v'atzas Hashem hisakum. The advice of Hashem, the counsel of Hashem, that's what's going to last. And v'atzas Hashem hisakum, I heard once a great addition, sakum stands for tchilasei kaitzim v'seifei mishar. That many are the machshavos in a man's heart. A lot of people think that it's best to just take the easy route, but sometimes it's hard in the beginning. And a lot of what we said tonight is not so easy. It is hard. But in the beginning, it's going to be hard. But once we get accustomed to it, to complimenting others, to not breaking others, and to thinking twice before we say something, in the end, it ends up being v'sofa mishor. It ends up being easy. So in the schus of learning these two halachos a day, how we could sign up and be a member to learn these two halachos a day, and working on our Shmiras HaLashon, and avoiding Lashon Hara, and Shmiras HaLashon in general, and that's chus, that should bring peace between one another, and between us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.